All right. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. We're going to be talking about something today that I think we all... Well, I'm just going to say this. The Lord's been working on me about this because I have very little of it. And I think you'll understand what I'm talking about. But especially in this day and age in which we live. Chapter 5, well-known scripture, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. For when we were yet out without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We weren't even righteous. We weren't even good. We were sinners. But that's not even the sermon. That's just an amazing thing. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get going. Lord, I thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to be up here and just read your word and think about your word. And Lord, I pray that what I talk about today will mean as much to the people that have come here today as it did to me. And I pray that you'd bless their faithfulness for being here. And Lord, it was a long day yesterday, and a lot of people are tired. But Lord, bless our time around your word. In your name, amen. It's kind of interesting. I read this passage of scripture, and the one thing I noticed in verse 2, it says, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace. It says in verse 1, I may be way off in saying this, but therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace. We got saved. He showed us grace, and we were able to get saved. Christ saved us by his grace. He didn't have to do this. He didn't have to save us. And when we get saved, we are in his grace. And in that verse number 2, it says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. We're in his grace. When we get saved, we're just a picture of his grace. And now we have access to that grace where we can take of that grace and show it to someone else. Look at what my Savior did for me. He can do the same for you. We have access to that grace to give to someone else. Verse 3, it says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Tribulations. Nobody likes tribulations. Nobody likes troubles. We just, you know, some people have, believe it or not, have the idea that once we get saved, it's just a smooth ride from here on out. Boy, I think that's just when it starts. That's when the bumps start. That's when the tribulations start. The pressures, the tribulations start. But we can glory in these tribulations, and I think a lot of it is we glory in tribulations because it is a result of trying to distribute this grace to those who haven't heard. Yesterday when you were handing out tracts, you probably heard, no, I'm good. One lady we gave a tract to, and she said, oh, no, I don't want this. You know, and we've heard other things that we can't repeat in church, obviously. You know, get that stuff out of here. Keep that stuff in the church. We don't need to hear that stuff out here. You know, and that's verbal, you know, just verbal, but it plays with your mind. And at times, you say, how can you glory in these things? Because you told them. You told them the truth. You let them know the truth. And the lady said, I don't need this. No, take it back. You know, and I said, why? You don't want to hear the truth? And she just started laughing at me. And I just kept going. But it flipped the switch. You know, you just kind of get, and that's where I need the work. That's where I need the work, because tribulations work patience. And that's where I lack. That's where I lack. In fact, after I sat down and started writing this message about an hour ago, at the beginning of the week, I started writing this out, and the next day was one of the worst days I've ever had at work. My phone didn't work, my radio didn't work, my computer didn't work, my workers didn't work. You know, it was just like, here it comes. The Lord says, are you serious about this thing? Here it comes. How's your patience today? It's just proving to me that I needed to read this for myself. We lack patience. And I got, I'm just going to read a couple more quotes on patience. How can a society that exists on frozen dinners, instant mashed potatoes, packaged cake mixes, and instant cameras teach patience to the young? Remember that quiet patience can and does master and outlive all boisterous, stormy human discords. Patience, this is good. We can relate to this. Patience is something you admire in the driver behind you, but not in the one ahead of you. Sometimes a handful of patience is worth more than a bucket full of brains. Right? A second's patience can save you months of trouble. That is true. The lovely thing about patience is that it annoys the person who is annoying you. But patience, the suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation, or other evil with a calm, unruffled temper. You know anybody like that? Don't they drive you crazy? They do. It's like they can handle any situation, not a problem. But isn't that what Christ promised in the Bible? Let patience have a perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Nothing bugs you. That's amazing. I want to get there. I want to get there so I can get out on a street corner and preach, and some guy just come up and get in my face, and I can look him back and just say, bless you. You know, and just keep preaching. I don't know, I heard some stories about some of the street preaching, you know, Steve Caribou getting pinned up against the wall, and the guy holding him there, you know, yelling at him, screaming, and he's just preaching over his head, you know. You know, I want to get to the point where I'm doing that with not only still preaching, but with the right heart, that the people around me can hear. Why do you preach? Get out of here. We're trying to enjoy this parade. You know, just take the paper and we'll be out of your face. If you know, that's me. It was like, take it. You know, grab them, stuff it in their pocket. You know, I'm just gonna like, come on. You know, here we go. It's not that hard. Just take the paper and let's get on with this thing. And but most, you know, I can't say yesterday the parade, 99% were very receptive, very receptive. And some were very thankful that we were there. So praise the Lord for that. And we need to pray for that, for the upcoming Coon Rapids parade. That one's a little faster. But anyways, patience is such a thing. Turn to Acts chapter 5, if you will. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 40 and 41, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. I myself, if they beat me for no reason, would be very mad. I'd be walking away saying, what in the world? They beat us up for nothing. What in the world was that all about? You know, I wouldn't be singing. I wouldn't be rejoicing. I'm sorry. I'm not there yet. But I want to be. That's where I want to be. No matter what they say about my God, no matter what they say about my faith, no matter what they say about me, I just say, You're going to answer for that. They are. They're not going to answer to you. They're going to answer to God Almighty for what they do with the gospel, what they do with your Savior. They're going to answer for that. And they're not going to answer to you, so you don't have to take up a problem with them. You don't have to take it personally. But we do, don't we? It gets to you. It gets under your skin. You just want to grab. Don't you get it? Christ came and died on the cross for you. Now sit down and listen, you know. But if we lose, how many people, by us losing our cool and losing our head, being impatient with them, have we driven into the brink of hell? Because, you know, we get in an argument with them at their door. They want to talk about, well, I don't believe in what you're saying. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? You know, we just get, you know, hair on the back of your neck, if you have it, stands up, and you just want to get in their face and say, what the Bible's, well, you're wrong, you know, your church believes, blah, 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 you know, and just start getting in a spat, and they just shut the door and say, I don't want to listen to this. That's not what we need. We need them to listen to what we have to say. We need them to hear the gospel. No matter how they respond, we need to get the gospel out. That's our only job left to do until the Lord comes back. You know, Brother Paul asked me before Sunday school, what are you going to teach on today? I said, patience. And we were kind of joking around a little bit. I said, Lord, I just pray that you come back today. That'd be great. Where are you? You know, come on. You know, and God has his time. But so the apostles, they get beaten for no reason, just preaching the gospel. They get beaten. They beat them for no reason. And they rejoiced because it was for Christ. The guy slams the door in your face, but it was for Christ. They did that for Christ, not you. They yell at you. They say, take this junk, you know. They threw it back at Christ. It's like they're standing there looking in the face of Christ and throwing his gospel right back at him. It's just like they're spitting on him as he walked by with a cross on his back. We did it. We did it. But the thing is, you know, I get ticked off. I get frustrated. And I suffer from lack of patientitis. I do. But I got to get over that because souls are at stake. Souls are at stake. James, go to James. You probably knew I was going to go to this passage. Well, Paul did. I heard that. Here it is again. Verse 2, James 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Really? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So it is. It says ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So it is available. It is available. We can get there. So it says, so your faith is going to be tried, and you will be tempted, and you want to crawl into a shell. Oh, what's the use? These people are slamming doors, they're throwing tracts. You're taking maybe one or two instances out of your day and letting it ruin your day when you had probably 100 people take a tract from you. We can't let that guy, ruin your day. That lady ruin your day. That old battle axe, you know. I'll get that junk out of here. Kids, don't take that. Kids, I want to send you to hell. That's what she's saying. That's what she's saying. Don't take the truth, kids. Get behind me. Huddle under my wings. It's really sad. You sit and think about it. And you get impatient just thinking about that. But you can't let that let you crawl into a shell and say, I'm never going to work another parade in my life. I'm never going to knock another door in my life. I'm never going to go street preaching again. Are you kidding me? You hear what those people say? You hear what they're yelling at us? They're not yelling it at you. But we need to get to that point where we realize this is not about me. It's about Christ. It's about Him. We need to turn it around and say, this is about Christ. The guy, you know, how many times you've been down to the Basilica, and I had a guy come up to me, and it's all about works. He's just like he's standing in front of Christ Himself. It's not what you did on the cross. You came and lived a perfect life and died on the cross for no reason at all, because our works is more important than what you did. That's what he's saying. He's not saying anything about what you're saying. He's just saying Christ is wrong. Most of this isn't in my notes. I'm just letting you know that. But it's kind of interesting. The trying of your faith, it's going to be put on trial. You're the defendant, and you're going to be prosecuted all the time. The trying of your faith. How strong are we? Where are we in Christ? How patient are we with these people? And how can we get this patience? Where can we get it from? Part of it is the working of your faith, the trying of your faith. The tribulations that we go through, you take it and say, I'm getting ahead of myself. We can take that and use that as a lesson. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. What do wolves do to sheep? They rip them to shreds. They don't come in to have tea like you saw on the Looney Tunes cartoons when you grew up. They didn't come in and say, well, hey there, brother, how are you today? They're there to rip you up. And God, Jesus said, I'm sending you out there to a bunch of people who want to rip you to shreds. This weekend, downtown, they're having the Pride Festival. Those people want to tear you to shreds. But if you go down there and you're wise as serpents, you have answers from the Word of God, and you're harmless as doves, they may just be a little more receptive than if you go up to their face and say, you dirty rotten! Oh, you scum of the earth. You're doing all the... Oh, you're just living in the gutter. What are they going to have? What are they going to want to do with that? You go down there and say, look, you know, I thought about this. We were at the state fair. It was me and Paul again. We were standing outside the state fair, one of the gates, handing out tracts. And these two guys come by. I said, hey, can I give you something to read? You know, I'll give you a gospel tract. He said, oh, thanks. We're gay. So what? I was a drunk. Before I got saved, I chose that path of sin. Before you got saved, if you get saved, you chose that way of sin. It doesn't decipher between sins. You're a sinner. You need the Savior. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what sin path you chose. If you're gay or you're drunk, it doesn't matter. You need the same Savior that saved me out of the gutter. You need Him as much as I do. It doesn't matter what sin you're on. So anyways, how do we get this? Let's turn to Matthew 18. Actually, Matthew 9. And Psalm 78. Matthew 9, and get Psalm 78 too. We'll start in Matthew 9. Matthew 9, verses 32. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then you turn over to Psalm 78. If you're already there, Psalm 78. There again, verse 32. For all this they sin still and believe not for his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. When he slew them, they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock and high God, their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in their covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he in his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. Where's our compassion? If we looked at people, the first thing I wrote down here is see people for who they are. We need to see people for who they are. They're in the same state we are. To say that we have not done these things, you're lying. We've all done this in the sight of God. How many times have we come up to the altar and prayed a prayer after a sermon and said, God, I'm going to change this in my life? And a couple weeks later, we're back to the same old thing. But he could have just snuffed us out like that. Oh, you liar. But he had compassion. How many people in here have relatives that are unsaved that we've prayed for how many times? How many times? And if we would have lost our patience, we would have pushed them over the edge. And they would never have anything to do with Christ. They say, oh, they'll never get saved. Ah, what if God would have done that with us? After we've done something so little and minute, we think, but we lied to a holy God. Could have snuffed us out. We need to see who they are. These people are sinners, just like we were. And they need a Savior, just like we do. Compassion. Compassion is so lacking today. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Oh, I got it right here. I'm not going to have you turn there. I'll read it to you. 1 Corinthians 6. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So why even try? They're not even going to inherit. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves, of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. Why don't they deserve that? Why do we get impatient? Why do we lose our cool? Because they said no. Who's to say that that wasn't just the beginning of planting a seed? Maybe they didn't take your track, but they read the signs on the side of the float. You don't know that. You don't know that they may have a relative that comes by and talks to them again about it. Or brings it up, somebody at their work brings it up in a conversation at break, and somebody was just, and they just told us, you know, on Saturday, but Monday somebody comes up to us and says, hey, let me talk to you about something. But if you're rude to them, if you're impatient with them, and you say something stupid to them, they may say, oh, I don't want to hear about that. Get away from me. This is what God spoke to me about. I don't know. Maybe you got a handle on this. But I don't. I'm very sarcastic. I like to make sarcastic comments, if you haven't noticed. And I try to be funny. But somebody could take that the wrong way. And if I start getting sarcastic about the gospel, it could drive somebody into hell. It's a serious thing. It really is. Second thing, turn to Luke. Luke chapter 10. And while you're there, I'm just going to read this other verse to you real quick. Or did I write it down? Oh, I wrote it down. Think about this. Think about this situation. And when they were come to the place, which was called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How could you do that? How can we do that? Here's all these people. All he did was right. All he did the whole time he was down here was right. He did nothing wrong. And here they beat him, they nailed him to a cross, they put a crown of thorns. By this time he looks like a hamburger hanging on a piece of wood. And they're down there making fun of him. All these people that did this to him are down below him making fun of him. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what to do. What compassion. What forgiveness. What patience. Instead of just mocking the Pharisees and calling them for what they were, you know, woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, you hypocrites. He could have done a lot worse. You know, he could have done a lot worse. He could have said, you know what? I'm sick of all this. You know, and just wiped the thing out. He could have been up on the cross and said, oh yeah? God let me down from this cross. Let me show him what it's all about. Then where would we be? Where would we be? We wouldn't have any hope at all. None. But he died there. He showed compassion. Compassion towards people who hated him. People that had wanted nothing to do with him. He made them look bad. And if we're a little more patient towards the Word of God when it makes us look bad, when the pastor gets up here and preaches a message, it hits us right between the eyes. And we say, oh, no, 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 no. Or are we patient with the Word of God? Do we get angry with the Word of God and say, no, 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 I don't need that. I don't need that. Anyways, I went off. Rabbit trail. Okay, Luke chapter 10, verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, well, it's starting 31. By chance there came down a certain priest that way. When they saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Man he didn't even know. A man he didn't even know was laying there just beat to a pulp. Here is people that lining the parade route yesterday, living in these houses all around us. They're beat to a pulp by this world. They're beat to shreds. Sin has taken them in the corner and just had their way with them. And they're out there just, you see how impatient the world is, you know, the way they drive, and you know, and none of them, you look at them and all of them are just like, you know, they're so excited, you know. Go to a Cub, go to Walmart just before a holiday. Man, living. Get out of my way, man. I'm going to get that last watermelon if it's the last thing I do. Well, you've seen the fights during Christmas over a toy. You go, Paul, give me that Cabbage Patch doll with one leg left. You know, it's unbelievable. They're impatient, but the world has beat them to a shreds. And they got it. You can't help but tell me. You know, at work, this is what's frustrating at work. And this is part of where I need patience. Is they think these guys have never experienced life out of the hood. They think that they just sat there and all they think about is doing crimes and doing this. You can't tell me that at one time in their lives they haven't sat there and said, why do they have it so good? Why can't I have a life like that? What? You can't tell me they haven't thought that. What they can't, you can't tell me, so, well, maybe if I stayed in school, I can get a grad, I can go possibly go to college one day. But the peer, oh man, come on, man, you don't want to be part of that. Come on, drop out, be with us. The pressure to stay where they're at. Well, what if I moved on to this neighborhood? What if I found some new friends? What if I got a job and started working and just went home? I wouldn't have to look over my shoulder every day when I come home from work or wherever I'm at. I don't have to come home and worry if a police car is parked outside my house. You can't tell me they didn't think about that. But this world has beat them into it. They watch TV. Be afraid of this. Be afraid of that. Trump's going to ruin this country. Trump's going to ruin the world. Trump's the cause of acid rain. Trump's the cause of the internet problems. Trump this, Trump that. All about Trump. Negative Trump. Negative Trump. And then, but there's no mention of God. There's no mention of something or someone who can change their life forever. This, so now we got a society who gets everything now. And we have to be the patient ones. We can't go to where they're at. They're running around trying to find answers. Maybe this brand new car will solve my problems. Maybe this new house will make me happy. You know, maybe a good steak dinner if I cut this guy off. You know, it's just everybody. It's all about themselves. I gotta find answers. And they're just running around like madmen and women, just trying to find peace. And we have the answer. We have the answer. And they're just running around. They're nuts. If we just take the time and look and see someone beat up by the world, totally beat to shreds, and just go up to them and say, hey, and help them out. Here, I got some oil. I got the balm of Gilead here. I got the answer. I have a Savior who wants to save your soul. A Savior who wants to give you peace and contentment and a home with Him in eternity. Bind up their wounds. Take them under your wing a little bit. Call them, see how they're doing. Hey, you got any problems? Let me know. I'll see what I can do for you. There's nobody like that anymore. We need to be those people. We need to show some patience because we have the oil that will heal their wounds. We have the bandage that will keep it from bleeding. We have a place of rest for them to go. That was the second point. We have what they need. We need to just take the time to present it. But we get so impatient, oh, I got to get home. I got to mow the grass. Like it's not going to be there tomorrow. You know, it's going to be a little bit longer, but we need to be patient. We need to have compassion. We need to see who they are and realize that we have what they need. We have what they need. Go to Romans chapter 5 again. Romans chapter 5. So then I'll just read the verses here. Same verses again. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. If you've ever lifted weights or worked out, if you've worked out, the idea is you go through this pain. You go through the tribulation part is working the muscle, lifting weights, trying to work. You want to get bigger biceps, so you start doing curls, you know, and preacher curls and single barbell curls and all this. You know, you do those, but you putting that muscle through tribulation, it hurts. You get to the point where you're just like, what am I doing this for? What am I doing this for? But then the next time you do it, it's a little easier. And you notice that you're starting to get a little bigger. And then you start going over the mirror, you know. Ooh, a vein. Ooh, I got a cut. Look at there. Oh, that was the shadow. But tribulation worketh patience. Works you. And then the next time you go out and to hand out tracts at a parade or knock on a door, it's a little easier. Not the fact of going, you know, I'm always nervous when I go knock on doors, but when somebody comes to the door and they say something to you that you've heard before, you're like, yeah? So? What does that have to do with anything I'm about to tell you here? One lady, I had her so flustered, she came to the door, opened the door, and I said, good morning, and she goes, not interested. I mean, just like that. I said, not interested in what? And she goes, I said, what? What are you not interested in? You know, whatever you have. I said, I have $1 million for you. And then she didn't know what to say. I said, no, we're just handing out gospel tracts. We're just handing out gospel tracts and tell you about Jesus Christ. No, no thanks. And she shut the door. They're just, you got the other religions out there, the Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons knocking on doors all the time too, so they're probably getting used to that, or they're getting tired of them coming, and they think you that, you know, or think you're of that group, and they're just getting impatient with it. But to get to the door, what if I would have just yelled at her, oh yeah, you know, just, what are you thinking, you know, you don't want my track, it was just a track, you don't even know what you're not interested in. You know, just something stupid like that. Not that we would ever do that. You know, but to be patient. But now, here we go. We get to start dispensing. We get to the part of compassion. We see people for who they are. And we realize that they need something that we have. Turn to Matthew 18 real quick. Matthew 18. Story you've heard many, many times again, but never get used to it. Never get used to this stuff. Matthew 18, verse 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money. But for as much as he had not to pay, he didn't have enough money to pay him, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had the payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee. Then the Lord, what comes after that? What triggered this man, this king's heart, to change his mind towards his servant? Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and he loosed him and forgave him the debt. They're not sinning against us. Yes, we can sit up here and preach against the sin that's going on. We can preach against the depravity and the stuff that's going on downtown this weekend. We can sit here and talk about the sin that other people are doing, but they're right where we were before we got saved. And someone had the patience with you. Someone had the patience and the resolve to keep praying for you till you got saved. And so now that we realize that we sit back, we take a step back, and we see these people, we say, you know, we hear the phrase, but for the grace of God, there go I. That could still be me. But someone took the time to share the truth of the gospel with me. Why can't I be like that? But now we realize we have compassion towards these people and realize they need someone to lead them. What is it that Christ said? He had compassion on them because they didn't have a leader. They didn't have anybody to take them around and show them the truth. They were just running around. Maybe you're that person. We all work in different workplaces. We all have different neighborhoods. We all know people that the rest of us don't know. Maybe they need somebody. Maybe you're supposed to lead that person. Maybe I'm supposed to take that person and show them the truth. I am. Not maybe. But we need to have patience. But now, we can take that. Remember that we're in God's grace, and now we're seeing people with compassion and a little bit of forgiveness, just like Christ. And we can take that grace that we're in and we have access to it, dispense it out, and give it to others who need to hear it. And no matter what they throw back in our face, we can say, I've given you the truth. You can do with it what you want. You can say what you want. But you're going to answer to God for this. It's nothing against me. It's nothing personal. I can take that grace and say, here you go. And get to the point where I'm perfect and entire, wanting nothing. No matter what they say, no matter what they do, no matter how they handle themselves in the face of getting the truth, I can handle it. I can take it. I want to get there. I really want to get there. And with the Lord's help, I can. Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's what we're handing out. We're handing out something from God to them. It's like we're like FedEx for God. We're delivering this gift to them free of charge. It's the power of God to salvation. No, I don't want it. Okay. Just walk away. Return to sender. But we can start to, now that we have the compassion, we can just start dispensing God's grace with patience. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 20, for what glory is it if when we, what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. That's why they could rejoice. That's why the apostles could walk away from being beaten for no reason and be excited about it. Because it was for God. It was acceptable with Him. It's what He wanted them to do. They went through it. Every time they got hit, it was like, this is for God. It's all worth it. It's for Christ. It's for His name's sake, not my own. So with each display of patience, that when we're dispensing the grace And each display of patience, maybe somebody yells at you, screams at you, whatever, worst case scenario, they take a swing at you. Or they beat you, leave you laying on, beat you for no reason. For each display, every time we hand out the grace and show patience, we have an experience. We can learn from experience. We can take that experience and say, you know, maybe I handled that the wrong way. Is there something else I could have done there that could make them more receptive to the gospel? What about the next person down the street? If they say something to that, is there something I could do or say that would catch their attention? Is there a different way I could approach it that would make them more acceptable and receptive to the gospel? With every time our patience is worked, there comes an experience. Then we go to Romans 5:5 again. Romans 5:5, and we're getting close here. I know that's exciting. Romans 5:5, verse we've read a few times already, and hope maketh not ashamed. Well, let's read verse 4, patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We have nothing to be ashamed of. So if we get compassion and we see people for who they are and where we were at one time, and we have a little bit of forgiveness for people, we start displaying this patience with them and showing them that we're real, we have nothing to be ashamed of in the end. It says, and hope maketh not ashamed. We're giving them hope in a world that gives them absolutely nothing. No hope at all. None. They worship money. They worship fame. They worship sports teams. They worship sports figures. They worship actors and actresses, people they don't even know or have never met, who can give them nothing. Absolutely nothing. And if money and fame and fortune were the answers, these athletes that they hold up on a pedestal and worship wouldn't be going to drugs. They wouldn't be getting pulled over for DWIs and stuff. But they're still searching. They don't have the answers. Actors and actresses go into rehab all the time, because obviously fame and fortune is not the answer. They come to Hollywood for the first time and do a movie and end up marrying some guy, and it's the romance of the century. And 2 years later, that's the romance of the century. It wasn't the romance of the century. But I love this guy now because I just did a movie with him and he kisses really good. And so now I'm with this guy. Well, maybe it's not guys. Maybe I'm supposed to be with other women. Look at Hollywood. Look at how they go. Every one of them starts out with a relationship, then another one, then another one, then eventually they go to a homosexual lifestyle. More and more, it's getting to that point. They have nothing to offer. It's empty. It's vanity. They have nothing to give. But that's who people are steered towards. You go on the web pages, and they have the Hollywood section where everybody so and so did this. Look what they wore on the beach. Look what they wore to the red carpet. Look what who cares? Who cares? They don't have anything that's going to make my life any better, or your life any better, or their life any better. But we can look at these people and say, we were there. I did the same things you're doing, and it's empty. I have the same empty life you're experiencing right now, but I have an answer for you. I have Christ, Jesus Christ, died on a cross for your sins. He can change your life. And they say, get out of here. Okay, I tried. That's all we can do. And you can walk away rejoicing, knowing you did it. What you did was for Christ. No matter what the outcome, you did it for Him. They're yelling at Him. They're spitting at Him. They're cursing at Him. They're punching Him. With each experience comes hope. We have that hope. My hope makes me want to tell other people about it. My hope is in a God who is long-suffering. My hope is in God's salvation. And we have it. They need it, and we have it. And we need to give it to them, and we need to be patient with them. Because how long was it before you got saved? How long was it before it sunk into your heart that Christ died for you, that it was real to you? How long did you serve this empty world, this world of vanity, before the message of Christ got to you? Why does it say that God is long-suffering? Because He is. He just sits there and tells you over and over and over and over again. Finally, they saw the light. Finally, He accepted Christ. Now, I hope that He can get that patience as well and spread the gospel with the same patience I showed towards Him before He got saved. Let patience have her perfect work, compassion, forgiveness. And then turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. I want to get there. I really do. I want to get there where nothing in this world. I want to let patience have its perfect work. I want to be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But it starts with me learning patience. It starts with me having compassion. It starts with me giving a little forgiveness towards people who are in the same boat I was, and telling them about Christ. And no matter what the outcome, no matter what their rebuttal, no matter what they throw at me or do whatever they do to me, okay, I did it for Christ's sake and not my own. I didn't do it to come back and brag about getting yelled at. I did it for Christ. And come back to say, oh, a guy took a swing at me today. Look at me, I got swung at. Who has two thumbs that got swung at? I want to be perfect. Now, look at those three things, then we'll be done. Perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Who is that? Isn't that Christ? Isn't that who we're supposed to strive to be like? That's the outcome. That's where we're supposed to be. Look what they did to Him. And He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I want to get there. I hope you'll join me. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the